turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. You know, and I know, that the Spirit of God is revealed through the Word of God, that the Lord Himself said, "My sheep hear my voice. They follow me." Now, I've thought a lot about what I'm about to say, and I believe this is right. What we're going to look at in a few minutes, in fact, I'm convinced that the book of Proverbs is an intimate discourse between the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. Now, you know that you've read Proverbs before, and I have too. We read, and there's times that it just seems as though that one scripture goes right into another scripture, and that there must be some relevance between the two, but it's hard to perceive sometimes what that relevance is. But I'm convinced this morning, and I want us to consider, as we look at this passage of Scripture, Proverbs 3, I'm going to look at verses 7 to 10. And what this is a discourse from the Lord Himself to His people. The Savior and the object of His mercy. The husband and His bride. The sinner and the Savior. Two friends. That's what the Lord said. He said, "I'm your friend." Now, I pray that the Spirit of God would bless this message today. Bless it to me. I would desire the Lord bless it to me. I believe what I'm going to say, as I've said before, I believe my note. I've gone over my notes, and I feel pretty confident that they're doctrinally sound, but that the Lord would bless them. There's the issue right now. Now, as we read, I'm going to ask you to do something right now before we go any farther. Ask the Lord to bless this message to you. Ask Him. You know, He said you have not because you ask not. How many times have we assembled? I'm talking to all of us now. There's no difference in this pulpit and that pew. How many times have we come and we never asked? We never asked. Ask Him. Here's the discourse now. Two friends. The Lord speaking. He's here. I know He's here. He promised He'd be here. Here's His word. I'm talking about a word now of exhortation. Me and I was talking with recently. Men will say there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing you can do. Well, for the establishment and the maintenance of your righteousness, I agree with you. But nothing you can do, I disagree with you. If you say that there's nothing we can do. this book right here is filled. As I've said before, when the Lord says, I've given them your word and they've kept it, he that keeps my commandments, he that... Do we think that he just said that just to hear himself talk? Now here is the evidence of a believer. These verses that we're going, this is the evidence of a believer. Here's a word from the Master that's heard by the object of his kindness and mercy and grace and compassion, and they do these things. These are good works. These are good works. We're not saved. We're not saved by works of righteousness. But we do have good works. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Now here's the Master speaking. And he's speaking, I'm telling you, individually, to his people this morning. You take this as a personal conversation between you and the Master. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That is, don't think that you know better than God. Now that's what he just said. One that leans to his own understanding, one that trusts in his own ability, one that trusts in his own will, one that trusts in his own power is a fool. He's a fool. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. I want to hear what he's got to say. You know, what a blessing it is to possess a heart that loves to bow to Christ. Let me ask you this morning, truly, do you want to bow? What a blessing it is to have a heart that loves to hear His Word. Lord, I want to hear. I do. I want to hear. Lord, I want to be with You. Lord, I'm thankful for Your good providence. I'm not wise. I'm just not wise. Brother Scott just read this. He, that is the Father, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be unto us wisdom. And here's wisdom now speaking. What does He say? Be not wise in your own eyes. Almighty God has shown the wisdom of this world is foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:20, where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Can I just sum up the wisdom of this world in one statement? And I believe this. I believe I can sum it all up right here. Whenever the world thinks of God, whenever the world thinks of God, they think of, salvation. They think of heaven. They think of, good things. They struggle on how to think. The wisdom of this world is to believe that God desires to do something, but can't unless man allows him to. That's what it's going to come down to. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, the wisdom of God was manifested to all men in creation. Romans 1 tells us that. But with God's wisdom completely surrounding mankind, the world, by God's manifested wisdom in creation, the world, by wisdom, they knew not God. But that didn't excuse them. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, let me just tell you this. Every person that has ever been born is without excuse before God. Why? Because God has manifested His wisdom to them in creation. But beholding creation is not enough for a man to be saved. The Scripture says, "Therefore, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The preaching of the cross, that is, all things that are involved. When we say the preaching of the cross, I'm telling you, from beginning to end. Electing grace, redeeming grace, quickening grace, keeping grace. The preaching of the cross. The preaching of God's sovereign grace by the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ is considered foolishness to this world. That's what Brother Scott was meaning when he said, if men believed this, you couldn't hold them. You couldn't pack them in here. They'd be standing around, they'd be out, and they'd be straining to hear. If men realized what awaited them the moment they take their last breath, crying out to the mountains and the rocks to fall on us, hide us from the Lamb that sits on the throne. Indescribable horror. He's speaking now. Here He is, Savior to sinner. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now He's talking. You that believe, hear His voice. Have respect and reverence unto Him who alone gives salvation. That's what He says. Fear the Lord. Respect, the capital L-O-R-D. Respect the Father that chose you. Respect the Son that redeemed you. Respect the Spirit of God that quickened you, sealed you, kept you. And depart from evil. Depart from the evil of being wise in your own eyes. And the believer says, by the grace of God I have. These things that He's telling me to do, remember this, faithful is He who calls you who will also do it. You don't have the ability to do these things in your natural state. But I'm telling you, a man that Almighty God calls out of darkness does these things. Because God Almighty has made him a new creature. Created in righteousness. Don't be wise in your own understanding. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Why, Lord? Verse 8, it shall be health, medicine, to thy navel and marrow, moisture to your bones. You see, the problem is that man by nature is spiritually sick. Isaiah 1, 5 and 6, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Man, just sick. He's dead sick. And he just doesn't eat what's healthy. The Lord said, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he that eats of my life and my death." That's what he's not speaking of cannibalism. You know that. He that feasts upon, he that is refreshed by, he that is filled by my life and my death. He that, by the grace of God, realizes you're not wise in your own eyes. Respect the Lord. That will be medicine to you. You see, carnal man feeds on nothing but lies. His navel. The source, you know that the navel is the only source that a baby's got for food for its mother. Not his mouth, not his navel. The only source of food that either a believer or an unbeliever has is that old heart. That old navel, that old heart. That's the source of my food. What am I going to feast on? I'm going to feast on lies and deception. Darkness. They love darkness. Give me darkness. Have you got a big plate of darkness? That's what I want to eat. They love darkness rather than light. The old navel, the old heart, that which symbolizes the nourishment. That's what I feasted on. My bones were dry. The Lord took Ezekiel up and put him in the midst of a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, you know. The Lord could ask any of us, can your son live? Can your daughter live? Can the Lord save your mother? Can the Lord save someone in here today? You know what our only answer is? Lord, you know. What do you tell them to do? Preach to them. You preach to them. Evangelism. You preach the gospel. Being made wise to the fact that I have no wisdom of my own. Willing to trust in the Lord. That's health. Now there's some food there. This morning, you that believe, you're feasting on something that's really life to you. Oh, that I could just rest right now. Lord, as I've said before, if you settle me down, I'm settled. Come what may, I'm settled. Don't be wise in your own eyes and respect and fear the Lord and depart from the evil of being wise in your own eyes. That's medicine to you. This woman had an issue of blood and she saw the Lord and she said, if I can touch but the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. I'll just kind of slip in here. Nobody's going to see me. There's a lot of people and she just touched Him. And He stopped. He said, who touched me? And they said, Lord, everybody touched you. They're everywhere. And He said, no, virtue. Somebody by faith. You think He didn't know who that woman was? You think He didn't know? You think He didn't see her coming? I wonder how long he saw her coming. It's that same forever that Brother Scott was just talking about. He's always seen her coming. And in that moment, she touched him. He who drew her to himself. And they all kind of just parted back, and there she was, fearful. You know what he told her? Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Not wise in her own eyes, be health. It should be health to thy navel, to my new heart. My new heart, by which this is the only way that you're feasting. I'll give you a new heart, new mind, new spirit, new man, new creature. This is how you're feasting. That which feeds me, that through which I'm fed, they'll all be taught of God. Now here's the Lord. He's still speaking to His own. He says in verse 9, as a dear friend, He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord. Honor Him with all that He's blessed you with. Let me ask you this. Has He given you a new heart? Honor the Lord with thy substance. Is that yours? He just told a woman, I just read the scripture. He told this woman, daughter, thy faith. Where did she get it? He gave it to her. That was hers. The gifts of God are without repentance. God doesn't take them away. Thy faith. Honor the Lord by the faith, with the faith that He's given you. Place your affection upon Him. I can tell you this. Honor the Lord with thy substance, your salvation, your faith, your capital, what you have, whatever. Honor the Lord. Your faith will be tried, and it will be proven to be of the Lord. Honor the Lord. Be liberal with that new heart. Be liberal with your time. Be liberal with your energy. Be liberal with your finances. That is, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Give unto Him first. You want me to name them? Let me just go down the list. You give unto Him the honor that's due unto Him. Will a man rob God of His honor? Of His honor. Of your time. I tell you this, you know a whole lot. A whole lot. Time. How much time do you think that we have on this earth? Well, I can tell you. I can tell you how much it is. Well, I can tell you in scriptural terms. It's a vapor. But a hand breath. Teach us to number our days. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. that which God has given you. Time, faith, money, first. Give Him first. Because what you give first to is your God. That is your God. Giving Him the first is a constant reminder of our resurrected Lord. The first fruits. God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm talking about in every area. I'm talking about in all these things. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about it. God. Freely you receive, freely give. Let me ask you something. Do you joyfully withhold from Him that which He's given you? Now, I'm talking this morning. I'm talking from the Lord to His people. I'm talking from the Lord to His people. And His people do exactly what He just said right here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All believers do. They do. And I'll tell you this. If there's lack, when they hear it, that's good enough for me. They change right now. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Maurice Montgomery, I told you this, told me one time a man asked him, said, do you have to believe in election to be saved? He said, no. No. He said, I don't know how much the thief on the cross knew concerning the depth of the election of God. He said he knew that Christ was his only hope. But he said when a believer hears it, he believes it. He believes it. Whenever a believer hears the voice of the Master, they obey. Or they will. Ask Jonah. They will. If they don't, they didn't hear the voice of the Master. That's right, didn't Carl? They just didn't hear it. He has withheld nothing from us. David said in Psalm 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Do you know that worldly wealth, as a general rule, exposes a man's mistrust of God? Worldly wealth usually exposes mistrust, self-confidence, and selfishness. Man by nature will honor himself rather than Almighty God with that which God alone can give. But those that do honor the Lord with their substance, they do so because the Lord has them. Their heart, their love, their devotion. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I was watching this morning as I got up walking through and I heard an advertisement. It was talking about this woman was interviewing different people and they were talking about how much money that they could be making. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, some of them was making $10,000 a month. And they were so excited and they were so, and the thought went through my mind, so what? So what? What's it going to profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? It's over. It's over. It's over. and all of the things and mess and stuff is going to perish with them. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. You know and I know that the Lord's people are kept and maintained as to this world's good. But there's a greater blessing that's set forth here. Enduring blessings. Those blessings promised to those that the Lord has given a new heart to honor Him. Malachi 3. Last book of the Bible, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And I'm all of these things that I've talked about, I'm talking about time and energy, faith and money and just whatever. As the Lord has prospered a man, let him give. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Truly awakened, regenerated believers. They bring the revenue of their praise and honor and glory unto the Lord. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. I mean, it has absolutely, I'm telling you, absolutely nothing to do. I mean, the Lord watched a bunch of people one day. If it was just talking about money, He was standing there in a temple one day and He was watching some folks and they're across the room over there all the way in the back. He told His disciples, He said, you see that woman back there? The one that just put in two mites? That woman put in more than all these others. A man or a woman can be the biggest monetary contributor there is in a congregation and be in absolute poverty. Give of the first fruits. Give Him first. And He said, thy barns, all that you need, will be filled with plenty. Oh, but what if? Have you ever seen the righteous begging bread? Yeah, but I feel as though that I can, you know. Well, the windows of heaven are open to all that God Almighty has everlastingly loved. The poor of this world are chosen by God to be rich in faith. There's some rich folks sitting here this morning. Rich in faith. There's some rich folks. You may not have that much monetarily, but I tell you this. You leave this world, believe in God. You leave this world, you take your last breath, and it be said of you, like it was over in Hebrews 11, talking about Noah and Abraham, Moses, and Rahab the harlot. And this was their epitaph. They all died in the faith. And you walk out of this world believing the Lord Jesus Christ and hear Him say, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And I'm telling you, all of that mess that we left when we left this world amounted to absolutely nothing. God has chosen the poor, poor in spirit, weak, helpless sinners. That's the ones that are poor. Rich in faith. All right. May the Lord bless this message to our hearts. Gary, would you come?